This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
So what this does is this hands back, and that's why the phone itself becomes the instrument that is the accurate navigation device, because in your phone, you now have the freedom to explore.
Have you ever watched in amazement as a visually impaired person nimbly maneuvers their way through a crowded subway station? Well, some thoughtful innovations are being developed to enable people with low vision to navigate the world with greater ease. This week on Sea Change Radio, we speak to the founder and CEO of Waymap, Tom Pei, about his startup company's breakthrough navigation technology. We discuss his company's product, look at some of the challenges that people with disabilities face, and touch upon the promise of autonomous vehicles for those without sight. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Tom Pei. He is the CEO of Waymap. Tom, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thank you for having me.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about the journey that you and your colleagues have had with Waymap, what the mission of the organization is, and what problems you're trying to solve with it?
Basically, we started out trying to solve a very simple problem, and that was that seven blind young people in London said the most important thing to them to help them to change their lives for the better was to be able to get around London Underground like everyone else. And the reason for that was that they were young. They had, a couple of them had just been out on a date with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. They had been taken around by these adults, strangers, sighted guides to help them to navigate the underground. And it wasn't very cool. So they thought, hey, an app could solve this for us. I had done some research on it previously. So I put my hand up and said, look, I'll solve that problem for you. We applied to google.org and we got $1 million grant. And they told us to go out and change the world for blind people. And we carried out trials across the world with literally thousands of blind people, asking them how we could solve their mobility problems. How could we help them to get around better? As a result, we wrote the world's first standard for audio-based navigation for people who are blind or with low vision. That's currently an American standard as well. And we've also written a standard for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And from that, we developed our app through Waymap. And we're currently rolling it out in Washington, D.C.
And so will it be a layer ultimately on Google Maps? Like I'm thinking if I put in walking directions for me from point A to point B, how might it be different with the Waymap layer, let's say?
The difference is that, first of all, it would be more accurate than Google Maps because it doesn't rely solely on GPS. In fact, it doesn't rely on signals at all if they're not there. The second thing is that it works outdoors and indoors, and Google Maps currently doesn't work indoors because it's got it works off GPS. The other thing is that our app can take you, it can integrate all of your transport journeys, both indoors, outdoors, underground, overground, and facilitate you getting to your office, in fact, even to your desk.
So how does it work if it's not with GPS? Explain the technology if you can.
So basically, we have an algorithm that turns your phone into a very accurate navigation device. We do that by using the sensors on the phone and using a system of Bayesian statistical algorithm to work out the positioning of where you are. We now, once we know where you are, we are able to accurately count your steps and the velocity at which you're walking. And we use that against a, we plot that against a known map. So a map of the indoor or outdoor area. Because it's probabilistic, there are very minute errors in every calculation, right? So in every, for every step, we assign 5,000 possible positions to where you might be. And we use this algorithm to pick the one that's most accurate. Because there would be very minute errors in that called drift. Every now and again, we will zero out those errors by using a principle of map matching, which means that we operate to up to 1 meter accuracy and 10 degree heading accuracy. So it is probably the most advanced indoor and outdoor navigation system in the world. And the thing is also, it works for people with disabilities as well as for people who don't have disabilities.
And where are you in terms of your company ARC? Is it in beta right now, or can people just access Waymap as an app right now on the Apple App Store, let's say?
As we speak right now, we're in beta. But if you come back and we speak again towards the end of the year, we will be out there working in Washington, D.C. So at the moment, we are working very hard to integrate the bus and rail and paratransit systems of the in the Washington metropolitan area, which is the tri-state area of Washington. After that, then we would be rolling it out in other cities.
So, Tom, are there some other applications that you foresee for Waymap beyond what you just described in terms of transportation needs for visually impaired people and those with intellectual disabilities?
Yes, and people in wheelchairs, and for instance, older adults who may have maybe anxiety in going outdoors, but also in maybe some short-term memory difficulty. But yes, is the answer. So our next step would be then to bring the great outdoors indoors. So we would be working with museums, with public buildings, with public spaces, with stadiums, sports stadiums. And for instance, in a museum environment, because we know where you are to within 1 meter and we know where you're facing to within 10 degrees, you can plot like you would plot a journey, say a trip around a big museum, say like the Smithsonian, and you want to see 17 exhibits, and then you want to go for a coffee to meet your friend. Well, you can plot the 17 exhibits in, and when you're facing them, we can download the API, which will tell you what it is. Give you a bit of a history about it. If you think, oh God, I really didn't want to look at that, that's boring, and you turn away, it decides that you've finished and that you can walk on to your next one. And similarly in retail, it's going to help people to get. We will know if you're in the coffee aisle or in the aisle where all the beer is, and we will also be able to help you to choose your favorite can of beer, ready to come, say, next year, towards the middle to end next year.
So you could work with a retailer, let's say, and they could say, all right, well, the Budweiser's here and the Sam Adams is here, and we're going to point visually impaired customers to the correct beer so they don't have to get any assistance from any buddy in the shop.
Basically, we can get you to within 1 meter of your favorite beer, and then we would just simply allow you to use your camera on your phone and just say, there's your John Adams beer, and you can say, great, I'll have it. You know, my wife, for instance, one of the things she hates going to the supermarket for two things. You know, she's not visually impaired or disabled, and so what you can do if you're sighted, and maybe it's your first time into the supermarket, or you just want to rush in and rush out, you just simply say, I want to get some bread and I want to get some marmalade or something. And you just push that in, it'll get you to the two places, and it will allow you again to select the brand that you want.
A Well, early one morning she was lying on the bed. A man next door was dying, raised up his head and said, ain't she pretty? Don't you know she fine? One look at that woman bring eyesight to the blind. I declare she pretty and the whole state knows she fine. I declare she pretty and the whole state knows she fine. Every time she started loving, she bring eyesight to the blind.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio, and I'm speaking to Tom Pei. He is the CEO of Waymap. So you're a very advanced computer user, and I imagine you've been working with computers for many years. Maybe you can kind of give listeners an idea of some of the evolution, some of the big hurdles that have been accomplished in the last couple of decades to make the world more accessible for the visually impaired in terms of technology. What are some of the things that are near and dear to your heart in terms of technological breakthroughs?
I mean, I could do none of this without a very simple program called Jolt. Well, it's not a simple program, but it's a program that's been around. It's a screen reader called Jolt, and it was designed by a person who had sight problems and who wanted to be able to use a computer. That means that I can access all of the data in my computer. Anything that's on the screen, my screen reader would read it to me. So I can do almost anything that I want to do on a computer. The only limitations is my ability to be able to navigate my way around. The next thing was the iPhone when it came out. It just revolutionized what blind people could do.
With like Siri and voice command?
Yeah, absolutely. It was counterintuitive. But at the time when they were designing the iPhone, Steve Jobs said, look, we need to design this so it can be used by blind people, because if blind people can use it, everyone will enjoy it. Right? And so they brought that approach to doing the iPhone. It was counterintuitive that a blind person would be able to touch a screen and operate it like a sighted person, but it did, and it really opened the world to blind people, because now we could do outdoor navigation that we couldn't really do before, as well as having access to on-the-go communications and so on. Yeah. So those were the big things. And then, of course, with the Americans with Disabilities Act or in the United Kingdom, the Disability Discrimination Act, the changes to the infrastructure, the building infrastructure and the transport infrastructure to facilitate access for everybody made a very big difference.
And when you think of the global visually impaired population, I think it's nearing the population in the United States. It's almost 300 million, I believe. And those are people with impairments. I think completely blind is more like 40 something million. For companies that didn't think this through early on, this is actually a big breakthrough for them as well, to be able to cater to a fairly significant customer base. And I can imagine it could make their operations smoother when they can, you know, just explaining what you were talking about with a shopping in a store. If somebody's looking for a beer, if they can get that on their own, as opposed to trying to get a shopkeeper to come select it for them, that helps on their labor front, let's say.
It does. But the thing is that 40% of the population of the United States has some form of disability and needs some form of additional assistance. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is that associated with disability is a reduction in the number of times that people go out alone, and an increase in the number of times when people rely on family, friends, and others to bring them out. So, in other words, a loss of disability, and arising from that is the diminution in one's self-esteem, and from that then arrives a lot of health problems that then have to be picked up in the economy. So it's huge, just being able to get out. And as I said, when I started to think about this as a possible opportunity or business, the problem I really wanted to solve wasn't about freedom of movement. It was the freedom to explore, because the thing that I lost was not freedom of movement, because that was a right. And somebody stuck a white cane or a guide dog of my aunt and said, there you go, Tom, right? It was my confidence, my self-imposed loss of freedom to explore the world because of the other difficulties that there were in being able to get around, like having to memorize routes, like having to, memorize getting when the bus was coming, when the train was coming. And so all of those things that one could do naturally, I couldn't do anymore. So what this does is this hands back. And that's why the phone itself becomes the instrument that is the accurate navigation device, because in your phone you now have the freedom to explore, and because you don't have to rely on your memory to do something, you have it. The memory is all in your phone, and you can get on with it. We're just using your dog, your cane, your wheelchair, or whatever else you need to use.
And it sounds like you were not born without sight. You lost sight later on in life.
You know, I lost sight when I was 39. So I was an extremely successful investment banker, and I lost my sight. And I have to say that it was cathartic. And maybe because of my personality, I over dramatized it, and I really went into a tailspin for 4 years until a gentleman in a charity came for me and told me that basically I was a waste of space, and that what I needed to do was to, there were 150 blind children in this school who would never have had a job like mine. He would never get to the countries that I went to, eat the food that I'd done, earn the money that I'd earned, and so on. And that I could carry on just being sorry for myself, or I could do something to help them. And it took me 3 days to get over the insult, but I went back and I actually shook hands with that man. He was the best friend ever. You know, there's people that come into your life that change your life, and he did. And ever since then, I've never looked back.
It sounds like the technology can really kind of not only close the gap between the sighted and the visually impaired, but also those who are born without sight versus those who lose sight later on in life, like yourself. I imagine somebody who becomes accustomed to the outside world and to technology at a very young age has an advantage over somebody who loses their sight in 39, kind of like somebody who's trying to learn a new language later in life. There's more challenges.
Yeah, they're almost like two disabilities, because my last charity that I ran was the Royal Society for Blind Children. And when you work with people who lost their sight in youth, the big problem is not ability. The big problem is confidence and self-belief and motivation and actually just having the courage. And courage is a maybe too complex a word, but just having that oomph to live life on life's terms. And that can be quite scary unless you are supported throughout your childhood and into your adolescence to be able to do that. And of course, because we learn 80% of what we learn through sight. Bringing up a child is a difficult thing at the best of times. Bringing up a blind child is really difficult. So unless that support is there for the family, then you get a different problem at the end. But nonetheless, it ends up with the same outcome, which is a reduction in going out, the onset of depression and anxiety and all of the things then that happened. It just happened for much longer because you're much younger.
The laws never passed, but somehow all men feel they're truly free at last. Have we really gone this far through space and time? It's a vision in my mind. one who make believes. I know that leaves are green, they only turn to brown when autumn comes around. I know just what I say, today is not yesterday. I'd like to know, is could a place like this exist so beautiful? Or do we have to find our wings and fly away to the vision in our mind?
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio, and I'm speaking to Tom Pei. He's the CEO of Waymap. So Tom, we were talking about some of the technologies that have made life easier for the visually impaired and those with intellectual disabilities. We've done a lot of pieces on autonomous vehicles in Sea Change Radio, and it's almost a throwaway line for some people when they talk about it's going to also make life a little easier for those who can't drive for themselves. And from a political standpoint, we hear about, well, it's going to wipe out all the taxi drivers or the truck drivers. But looking at it from your perspective, I can't help but think this is a very exciting development, the idea that this playing field of driving may be someday level in terms of computers driving us all around. Maybe walk us through your thought process following it.
I mean, oddly enough, when you talk to people who've lost their sight roughly around the time I have, and you say, what do you miss most? And you say, driving. You know, I can't drive, and I can't wait to get in, to be driven around in a self-driving car, and you know, just to kind of sit there. I kind of have this view of me sitting in an autonomous Porsche or something, but you know, maybe something less would do. The point is that I was I think that yes, autonomous vehicles are going to help lots of people. And yes, they're going to bring about huge economic changes in the world, and they're going to bring about great changes in society. So autonomous vehicles are going to bring about an enormous amount of social change in the world. And they're going to certainly help disabled people to get out more. They are going to help many people to get out more. And yes, it's, you know, as I said, it's going to be economic upheaval for a while, or a big change, but that always happens. But, you know, you've got a great organization there called Waymo in San Francisco. And one of the things that we would love to do is to work with Waymo, for instance, because using something like a Waymap app, if we then say order an autonomous taxi or cab or an autonomous vehicle, that it will actually pull up within 1 meter. If you're on GPS, it could be 10 meters away on the opposite side of the road. So it might as well be on the moon.
Right. They haven't really smoothed out that wrinkle by any means. So they need another technology to connect the visually impaired to making sure that they can jump into the right taxi.
I mean, one of the things that we will develop, and we will develop that with autonomous vehicle drivers, is that, you know, because these vehicles are electronic or electric, they don't make as much noise as a fossil fuel powered car. You know, by having the interaction between my mobile phone and the car, we can maybe add an additional layer of safety.
Baby, now you know I can't be the one to be your man. Baby, now you know I'd do anything in the world for you to have loving from my baby's eye. Oh, loving from my baby's eye. See that loving in my baby's eyes. Loving from my baby's eyes. Look up, baby, now you know damn well. Love you better than another man can tell. Love you, baby, now you know I'd do anything in the world for you to have a loving from my baby's eyes. See loving in my baby's eyes. See loving in my baby's eyes. Loving from my baby's eyes.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio, and I'm speaking to Tom Pei. He is the CEO of Waymap. Do you see any environmental benefits with Waymap? What are some of the ways that you think it could improve the environment?
More people will use public transport. So let me give you a really simple example. Many, many years ago, and this kind of dates me in my age, I went to see the chief executive of the Transport for London bus system. And I said to him, you know what, why don't you put in talking buses, you know, so you can make announcements that when people have arrived at their bus stop and so on. And he scratched his head. Well, he said, you've come at the right time because we're changing over our guidance system. So we'll do it. I know it's not going to cost an awful lot extra. It actually put ridership up 8%, right? And everybody that in the industry that were working in the industry were saying, oh, no, it's going to drive everybody mad because you're just going to have this constant talking. Actually put ridership up 8%.
I'm not surprised by that. When I lived in Japan, when I first moved there, I didn't read any Japanese. And I was always frustrated that when they didn't make an announcement or I couldn't hear the announcement of the next station. But I think that's come around. This was in the early 90s. So I've had that experience, even though I've had sight, I was illiterate, basically.
And the same for visitors to, say, Washington or San Francisco or whatever, you know, are not able to read signs for whatever reason, maybe because it's in English. The other thing is that in our trials, 87% of blind people said they would be more likely to use public transport as a result of having an app such as Waymap to help them to get around. That's an increase of 20% just from that disability alone.
That's incredible.
You know, so you can imagine the amount of people that are going to go from private transport, be it private hire vehicles or private cars, into the public transport system, massive saving in greenhouse gases.
So can people participate in the beta program now, or is that you're just hoping it'll be out to the public at the end of the year?
If you live in Washington, D.C., please contact us, www.waymapnav.com. And let us know that you would like to participate in the beta trials. We'd love to have you. Other than that, we will ask your local authorities or your transport authorities to take on Waymap, and we'll come to the city near you.
Tom Pei, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise.
Additional music by Mose Allison, Stevie Wonder, and Taj Mahal.
Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.